join me at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I would have you read with me, beginning at verse 23. Hebrews 11, beginning our reading at verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Would you join me in prayer, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessing, for the blessing of this hour. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the joy that is ours today to meet together and know, Lord, that you yet walk in the midst of your churches and therefore are here among us. And we pray, dear Lord, that you might direct our thoughts, that you might confine our responses to only the will of God, that we might in everything bring honor and glory to your name. This be our desire. Help us in it today for Jesus' sake. Amen. We are coming to the end of this first section, practicing the word. And we did look at some of this last week. I believe you have one sheet of this segment in your possession from last week. While I fetch you the other two, I don't think we handed them all out last week. I would like you to do a little bit of a brain buster, because it does have a bearing on the first point that we will make this morning at verse 25. I would like you to read that verse and either mentally compose, if you can, or in writing compose the exact reverse of that verse. Read the verse. Mentally compose or write it out, the exact opposite of what is written there. Had Moses not forsaken Egypt? I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. Let me fetch your study sheets. Hebrews 11:25 tells us that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I asked if you would please compose that in reverse. Everybody get a study sheet number 2. Anybody want to take a crack at that? Okay. Somebody else, take a spin up. Anybody else? Okay. Now remember, what we are looking here is reasons for fruitlessness, and we looked at one last week, which was they do not have saving faith. A couple of verses we threw in there, asked a couple of questions from the author, and then we have this. Another reason suggested as to why there is fruitlessness. On page 30 in your study booklet, it is said that they love blank too much. They love sin. Now I thought personally, no offense to Mr. Beek in his writing, felt that was an odd way to put it. They love sin too much. And my question is it okay to love sin a little? Is it okay to love sin just a little bit? Okay. Okay. When we look at Hebrews 11:25, we could probably highlight this as it would be seen in reverse. There are some who love the pleasures of sin too much. And then look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus chapter 3. We read there in that third verse, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And there are the pleasures there mentioned again. There was a time in the past, before salvation, that the inclination in your foolish, disobedient, and deceived state, that there was a preoccupation with pleasures intimated of sin. And so we would stop at this little question at the bottom. Is it okay to love sin a little? You said no. But in reality, can you give me two or three instances where a little bit of sin is tolerated and never challenged? Confine it to the Christian community. We don't want to go outside the Christian community because that can go in any direction and upward at a speed very fast. Confine that observation to the Christian community. Give me two or three examples where sin is tolerated just a little and never challenged. Oh, one at a time. What did you say? Okay, hold that in off to the side. I heard back here, what'd you say? Resting? I got to ask a clarification on that. What do you mean? Okay. All right. And I heard another one. I heard three. Did I hear three? Or was that just sort of like a echo? Okay. I'm getting a Claypool ear. What'd you say? Yes. Now, is there anything essentially wrong with resting? When does rest slide in to sloth? When does rest slide into sloth? Distinguish the two. Yeah. Pull your mind back, if you could please, to the book of Proverbs. There's two or three or four references that provide great word pictures for what we're talking about. Can you think of one of those? Okay, and consider his ways. Then there's one that I can't think of the number attached. There's one that talks about a man seeth the lion outside, and what does he do? Well, I think that's another one. But yeah, that brings up another one. A sluggard is said to be like a guy who is like a door. He turns on his bed like this action, goes from side to side. He sleeps like I do. He's like a fish. Not content to go on to stay on one side, he's going back and forth all night, but never wanting to call an end to it. Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. Yep. There's several of them in the book of Proverbs. Now let me transition from there to this. Do you believe still? And I know at the beginning of our church foundation, it was affirmed this truth that. That God, when he saves a sinner, forgives his sin, and invests at least one gift for service in that individual. Now, from the very beginning, it had its seed in 1972, established in the founding documents of this church, to the year 2011. Do you still believe that to be true? Do you believe that as you sit here this morning, a sinner saved by grace, sins forgiven, on your way to heaven, that God gave you a gift in which to serve him in the local church? Do you believe that? How many believe that? Let's go. Declare yourself. All right. Thank you very much. Now, would you say, and I don't want to throw hands on this one, would you say, on one hand, has there been given you an opportunity to utilize your gift at any time in your life at the church? And or is it that having the gift, you have never been under any divine compulsion to put that gift in play? Now, I don't want a show of hands for that. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because it comes back to whether or not, as Jane points out, rest, and we head into the sluggard line of thought, whether that is one of those little sins that's tolerated in the local church and never challenged. Never challenged. Now, as you're thinking about that, if I was to ask you to take the back fly leaf of your Bible and a pencil, just a pencil, because this is flexible, sometimes it floats, you would write in the back fly leaf of your Bible what specific gift or gifts God has given you, and record it. Are you able to, with confidence today, discern that? If I were to say, well, it's time to go shopping, few in here would need coaching on how to go about doing that or where to begin. But if I was to ask you to go shopping for your gift, would you have any idea in the Scriptures what store, and I mean by that, what place in the Scripture you would consult to have a look at the menu? Anybody? I mean, if you got a blank check, go shopping, find your gift. But you need to know where to go to look. Yes? Okay. Now this is something, again, this is an area that's seldom, if ever, challenged in the local church. And typically in most local churches, and this is not anything new, it is a very small circle of people who are doing the largest part of the serving. Always. And if I was to enhance that, in many churches, not all, but in many churches, it is women folk who are doing the largest share of the serving in many churches. Now, I'll give you the address of the stores in which you need shop. What's that? 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, you don't want to go next door. That's getting too lovey. 1 Corinthians 13, you get stuck in there and you never get out. And then Romans chapter 12 is another place. Romans 12, and then the another place you could look as Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll give you this little store, Bible strip mall. It's 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. That's a good starting point. Now, if you go shopping in those stores and you find what you're looking for, plunk your money down and take it. If you go through those stores and you don't see anything that appeals to you, anything there that rings a bell, touches your heart, pulls your chain, then we'll need to talk. And we can go in another area. That is, of course, on the premise that you still believe, after all these years, that God has exactly done that, gifted you, when He saved you, with a gift to serve, at least one. Some people, I believe, not all universal in agreement about this. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it's been, Howard Cole was the pastor at Union Baptist Church at that time, and Pastor Allison was the pastor at Grace Baptist Greensburg at the time. And we had us a Bible conference, I think a Western Association Bible conference here, on the subject of the gifts in our church. Maybe some of you remember that. And I had to preach in one of those messages, and I got up and I gave my big spiel about what I believed the gifts were, and Howard Cole had the message following me. He got up and with a sheep face, very sort of like embarrassed, and contradicted everything I said about gifts and took it in a different way. And I said, well, how about that? He and I ceased to be friends at that point. However, I told you before, without a hint of whatever of pride or braggartliness, can I say that way? The brothers have a right to be wrong. Okay? They do. And that would include me too. But I want you to go shopping. I want you to see that. And I want you to challenge the notion that when a Christian is saved, forgiven on their way to heaven, that they have largely been assigned to sit dormant until Jesus comes. That's not God's plan. Now, it may be that in your heart of hearts there's a desire to really go after and serve, do something for the Lord, but there's no opportunity. And if you find that to be the case, then let me know and we'll have a talk. It's great to see people who are looking for work. Now, would you please take that second little study sheet that you have. And we come there to the top of the study sheet. And before we try to fill in that little blank, I want to look at the scriptures. Zechariah 7 is the first reference. Zechariah 7. And the 11th verse. Now remember, we're talking about fruitlessness, the reasons for fruitlessness as it concerns the word. So in the 11th verse, Zechariah says concerning Israel in his day. And by the way, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi are prophets that need to remember that these three find their historical narrative in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay? And God used these three prophets to encourage the people of Israel in their day to restart the building on the temple. Okay? And God used them in that way. But the problems that they ran into were many. And verse number 11 highlights one of them. It says, they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Okay? That's pretty, you know, there's four things that's mentioned there. We'll just highlight one of them. And probably the men will know this by experience more than the women. Men sometimes, even men, children, sometimes will do this maybe to their mother, grandmother, husbands to their wives, where they will give them a low-grade insult about something they have done. And then, in a few moments later, try to cozy up, and they walk over and they put their hand on the shoulder, and she goes like this. How many of you fellas ever had that happen? Never. No, I wouldn't. You know, you had one of these delivered. So they pulled away the shoulder. They stopped their ears. If I was to ask you how you would do that in a pantomime, how would you do it? Go, Chris, can I have you stand up and do that? Stop the ears. Yes. Okay. Point number one, they stopped the ears, pulled away the shoulder. Would not listen. Reason for fruitlessness. Now look at Jeremiah 7:37. Huh? No, 37. Did I mess this up again? I suppose the mistake had to happen sooner or later. Well, let's slide on over that. Try 17:23. Huh? Okay, thanks, Joyce, for bailing me out. Let's go back to 7:27. Make the correction here. We read, therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Thou shalt say to them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So we look at 7:27, and they will not listen. will not hearken. Okay? Reason for fruitlessness. Now, 17, 23, let's see if I can get that right. It says, they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Okay? Now, when it talks about in this place here, making a stiff neck or not inclining their ear, some of us of late, not when we were young, but of late, now have to, when somebody speaks to us, we sort of like to have to lean in. What did you say? Okay? Whereas, the picture here in verse 23 is of a person who is receiving instruction, but they aren't interested. They're just rigid, you know. It's sort of like you're talking through them. They're not catching. So you have, and oh, by the way, what is the thing that they're not listening about that chapter 17 is dealing with? Make a from this verse down through the end of the chapter, what is the context? What is it they're not listening to or about? Pardon me? The Sabbath day. Aren't you glad that we don't have the Sabbath anymore? Okay. Neither inclined the ear. Then, in Acts 7:57, in the New Testament, Acts 7:57. The people who were bringing Stephen to his end rejected one of the last statements he would make. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears. They stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord. You know, it's a fearful thing to consider what happens when people, whether individually or as a group, stop their ears to God's word. That's a fearful thing to consider. As a matter of fact, when we began the lesson, I don't remember what the starting date was, it was my hope and desire to see the Spirit of God cultivate in my heart and in your heart an insatiable appetite for His Word to the point where you would be determined that in your life you could not live without it from day to day, and that you would attach a great weight to God's Word as it applied to your life. And I believe that whether it's Grace Baptist Church Gatanning or whether it is any other church in our fellowship, the spiritual health and the longevity and the fruitfulness of ministry hinges on that truth. And that if at the end of our study in this particular series, any might be yet unmoved or redirected, it's a fearful thing to consider when people essentially stop their ears. Now, on page 30, the author says, as a part of their fruitlessness, they blank what they hear. What's the word we want to put in there? They suppress. They suppress what they hear. Then, they look for a certain kind of what? Okay? Certain kind of minister. Can I ask this of you? If you're going shopping, as I hope you will, what kind of ministers are there that you might find on the shelf? No pun intended. What kind of ministers are there? Give me a sample. All right, there's some who preach the word. Okay. Tickle the ears. What else? Okay. Now, in this section of fruitlessness, they look for a certain kind of minister, engage in Christian rabbitry, otherwise known as church what? Church hopping. I want you to look at 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Second Timothy 4 and verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The teachers don't have the itching ears. It's those who are doing the hopping that have the itching ears. They want to be tickled, soothed. So you have Christian rabbitry. Widespread. You will note it in our church ministry plan that we have a section, the last part of that plan concerning outreach, that we would desire to provide here a haven for those who perhaps have become moved conscientiously from their home churches where they have maybe grown up in, have attended for years, but because of the contemporary changes that are afoot, no longer feel at home, and they want some place to land where they can be fed the word. And that's part of our plan. But we also state that we are not interested in the horizontal shift. People becoming disillusioned or disgruntled in a sister church, thinking that the grass will be greener down the road in our church. And I thank God that over the years that we've only had maybe one mass influx of people in that context. And I can say to you that they were only here one Sunday. 40 of them came all at once on one Sunday, packed the place out. Everybody was excited. Said, wow, we have a revival here all of a sudden. But basically, there was a group of people who left another assembly because of a problem they had with the pastor there. I have no idea why they only came here once. I don't know. But I have had over the years, invariably, two or three maybe people come in that circumstance and when I determine that it is not a deeply held doctrinal dispute that brings them, but rather a clash of wills or personality, my counsel is always, you go back and you practice Matthew 18. And you get yourself squared away with your pastor or the deacon in that church or whoever it is that you're upset with, and get back to work in your own assembly. Whereas some of our stripe of churches are only too happy to open their arms wide and their doors open to the disgruntled. And I'm talking now about disgruntled in the sense of that rise to the caliber of what color is the carpet? What brand of toilet tissue do you use in the restroom? About that caliber of a dispute. All right? So go back and get it squared away. Church hopping is not a good thing. I want you to look at this Galatians 4 and verse 16. Galatians 4:16. This is one of the things that causes the ear to itch. What is it? Am I become your enemy because I what? Tell the truth. Some people don't want to hear that. Then John Newton advised that in looking for God's blessing, wait where his blank has placed you. What is it? Providence. It's good counsel. In looking for God's blessing, wait where his providence has placed you. And then last, fruitlessness. They do not blank the voice of God. Obey. Romans 12, place to consider, particularly the first couple, three verses there, on to the end of that same chapter. And then, of course, there is the consideration of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned. And with this note, that love is primary. Absent that, none of the other fruit manifests. Absent the primary, none of the other manifests. They do not obey the voice of God. Now, the last question I have for you here is this. Is the filling of the Spirit a command imperative or a holy option? When the Scriptures say, be filled with the Spirit, is it an optional thing or a command imperative? It's a command to be filled under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, my follow-up to that is it possible to be filled with the Spirit and not manifest the fruit of the Spirit? Subject for another occasion. Do you have any questions? I would ask that you reread the last section of this book, pages 30 and 31, or pardon me, 32, 33 through the end, and maybe drop over to the need for prayer meetings in the next section. I'm not just sure how I want to handle that or if I'm going to handle that, but at least would you reread the last several pages in the current lesson to finish off this segment in the study booklet? Any questions at all? Any comments or observations? Okay, let's pray together. Lord, dismiss us now with your blessing, a blessing of recall, and courage to apply the truth. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and to pay heed to why fruit never appears. Help us, Lord, to soberly think through the passages of Scripture and determine that we will, for the rest of our days, strive to please you in everything we do, every decision that we make, every choice that is ours. And always be mindful of your divine prerogative and the display of that in your providence in what we see. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.